Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Brizola. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the new shadow. And a little slight problem here. Our theme, the March to the Scaffold by Edgar Berlioz and the Symphonie Fantastique, particularly appropriate now, since Nancy Pelosi, the self-anointed Queen of Congress, has in effect told some of her party members that they may as well march to the scaffold on this Obamacare or Pelosi care or Reid care, whatever you want to call it, this mess of a health care program. We'll be bringing up some of the things about the $90 billion federal program that nobody is talking about, which is incredible. How can you ignore $90 billion? As the late Senator Everett Dirksen of Illinois used to say, a million here, a million there, you're talking about real money. So we're finishing up our video verite, which you can go to at Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas on YouTube. We have about 50 video verites up there, the latest being an accident that occurred here in San Francisco where a Toyota was apparently, it looked like it was broadsided. We don't know if the brakes failed on this new Prius, and it's a live video, so you can look it up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, and there'll be updates. Let's start with the interesting birthdays today. There are a lot of musicians born today on March 2nd, and politicians, and some of these dates of the birthdays coincide with their promotion or their elevation to other positions or independence. We have DeWitt Clinton, who was not related to the Clintons of Arkansas, I don't believe, but he was the governor of New York and later, I think, a senator. He was born today. Most interesting of the, one of the most interesting people was Sam Houston. It's his birthday, and it's also on this day, I think in 1836, he got a birthday present. He gave Texas, he shared his birthday. They declared independence from Mexico, and you know, the Mexican War, which was this, one of the biggest after the successful defeat of the Mexicans at the Battle of Chapultepec. It was one of the most biggest land acquisitions in U.S. history. So his birthday is today. Also, one of the most controversial popes in the Roman Catholic Church, Eugene Pacelli, he was, it's his birthday today, and he was also elected pope in 1939. And if you want to understand how popes are elected in the politics of churches, look at the movie The Cardinal. I highly recommend it. Slight problem here with our, I don't know what the heck's happening. Let's see, who else's birthday? We'll get to the musicians in a minute. It's quite a few. The other Jefferson Davis, Jefferson Columbus Davis, who was in the Union Army as a brevet general. It's his birthday today. One of the great racing broadcasters, he worked for the BBC, Irish guy named Peter O'Sullivan, and he's famous not only for as the radio broadcaster and expert on horses. He advocated the abolition of using the whip on horses by jockeys. And since we're on the subject of animal cruelty, I would suggest to people who are concerned about some of these animals who are kept in captivity, we have major problems here in San Francisco at the zoo. We had the tiger who was taunted, and he killed a young man. And we have the orca whale at SeaWorld. And I'm not an animal rights person. I believe in human responsibility, and I've covered in my radio career and media career, I've covered a lot of animal environmental issues. I covered international conferences in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, United States. We'll be putting some of that stuff up. Some of those, I did about 1,500 interviews, about 500 in my career dealing with veterinarians and public policy issues. But those of you who are concerned about cruelty to animals and human responsibility, I think it's time that we start letting SeaWorld know that this is three people have died already. This whale is telling us something, and it's time to free, in other words, free Willie, free Orca. So I'll leave that to you. Among the other politicians born today is Mikhail Gorbachev, and there's a lot of controversy about him. He worked for some say, the GRU, which is Soviet, or was Russian Communist Military Intelligence. This is what my sources tell me. Anyway, he's been busy with Nancy Pelosi here in California with trying to set up this foundation, and we don't, you know, as Reagan said, trust but verify, but we want to trust, but we can't verify a lot of stuff, so I don't know what to think about this guy and some of the other Russians. And I've met, as I said, when I was a correspondent in Australia and Canada, I met people who I was sure were KGB, and I met a couple of ex here in San Francisco. So it was kind of funny when I flew over to Australia. I had some interviews with Australian officials and other media people, and they kept asking me, was I the latest CIA agent on station? And I said, hell, if I was, I wouldn't be flying coach. I would be staying in first-class hotels. But there is a suspicion, and there's justification for this, that media people, correspondents and that, are spies in disguise. And of course, it's a good cover, but it wasn't mine. Let's see, who else? Now, the musicians, this is interesting. Two famous black musicians, the first black male opera star, actually, Simon Estes, he's around, he sings Wagnerian roles, great voice. He's probably the first modern black opera star. Now, a guy who sang opera and great voice, he had a law degree, he was a great athlete, was Paul Robeson. And unfortunately, he got in with the wrong crowd, the commie crowd, and that hurt his career. He sang. He went to Russia during the 30s, sang in the factories, and he had his passport lifted. He does have grandchildren that are living today, as far as I know. He had a great voice, and he did some great movies. So you should check those movies out, those of you who like movies. We got George Benson, another great musician, popular, who was born today, great voice. And then in the pop field, we have Eddie Money, Karen Carpenter, who died of, I think, bulimia, starved herself to death. One of the Osmonds, Jay Osmond. Remember the Cowshills? John Cowshill was born today. And then this guy's still making records, I guess, John Bon Jovi. He was born in, of all places, Perth Amboy, New Jersey. So, you know, I guess he joined Bruce Springsteen. I've got a slight problem here, and just let me see if we can get this fixed. Ah. Hope so. There we go. Okay, and then of the great events today, in 1807, Congress banned the slave trade. Interestingly, it took nearly 70 years for Congress to ban peonage in New Mexico. Now, New Mexico was part of the acquisition that we got from Mexico after the end of the span of the Mexican War in 1848. And the Spanish colonies had this practice of peonage. And also a like practice was practiced in some of the southern and rural areas of this country called sharecropping. And what it was, for those of you who know what sharecropping was, that the poor peasants, poor people, were forced to work often at low or no wages in a form of slavery on the landowner's property or plantation or hacienda. And Congress finally banned that in New Mexico. Now, New Mexico is governed by Bill Richardson, who was an American. Although he was born in Mexico and he has dark skin, his mother was Mexican, but his father was part of that Boston aristocracy. And those of you who watched the Democratic National Convention in Denver, who may have caught C-SPAN and French TV, he said that Obama is an immigrant. He is one of us. And now, if he was lying, he should apologize publicly, because he's got a lot of people who listen to that and are concerned in this whole business. They've been trashed as birthers. But here you have a national politician and a public official. He was an ambassador for the Clintons and would have been Secretary of Commerce in the Obama administration, but he's a controversial governor of New Mexico, who made that statement. And he has not retracted, he has not apologized, he has not clarified. So, and of course, the morons in the media, you know, they deaf, dumb, and blind while they're, some of them are smoking their coke and token and other stuff and getting drunk on expensive wines and liquor. I know that because I've been to these parties. So, and since we're talking about alcohol, today, in 1877, one of the Civil War generals, the Ohio presidents, Rutherford B. Hayes, was declared president, even though it was a controversial vote in the contest between him and Samuel Tilden from New York. And this was the first time in the history of the White House that alcohol was banned. His wife was named Lemonade Lucy because she banned alcohol. She served lemonade instead. So I wonder what the ambassador said when they had to go to public functions there or diplomatic functions, and or if they tried to get out of it or snuck a toke or snort in the White House gardens, and nobody's talked about that. Among the other interesting things, my friend Drew Raines, who got me into this on Blog Talk Radio, persuaded me. I used to be on his show, but he said, get your own. He's an former U.S. Marine, served honorably for 10 years, embassy guard. He is the grandnephew of great general, a Marine, who served in Haiti and in the Boxer Revolution, and who also saved the presidency from neo-Nazi takeover at during FDR's first second term. He's relevant because in 1819, he lives in Arkansas, and the territory of Arkansas was recognized. We also have other states on this day. The state of Washington, or the territory of Washington, was separated from Oregon on this date. Now, those of you who remember our expansionist history of the West, there was a fight, and we almost had a war with the British and Canada over this. We thought that, some people thought that with our manifest destiny, that part of what is now British Columbia belonged to the United States, and there was the war cry, 54-40 or fight, and we ended up dropping down to, I think, 44, the parallel. And that was the Oregon Territory, which was interestingly also colonized or populated by a lot of people from the East. And if you go up to Oregon today, you'll see a lot of those old Anglo-Saxon names. Those are the people who took the Oregon Trail and populated Oregon. It used to be, and then when Californians tried to come up in the 70s and 80s, there was a Tom McCall, the governor, came out with this statement, come visit, but don't stay. They don't like Californians because Northerners went to Eugene and Portland, Southerners went to Bend, which was very similar territory or topography as Southern California. And there was the war cry or the anti-Californian cry, don't Californicate Oregon. And it's still that feeling. So Californians who are sick of California have gone to other states, such as Colorado. Let's see. Oh, and since we're talking about immigration, in 1819, Congress passed the first immigration law. And we have an interesting case in San Francisco. It's been badly reported in the press, where a Caucasian woman who was apparently married to this black guy who is a black American who is a muni driver, municipal bus driver, and there's a controversy about that. We'll get into that. These people are the second highest paid bus drivers in the country. And, of course, they keep getting into accidents. That's running over people. We pay some of the highest transit fares in the country and have some of the worst service. It's the inverse proportion of public sector employment. But anyway, she entered the country with her son illegally. She's from Australia. And the son, a 13-year-old boy, teenager, beat up another kid, took 46 cents or something like that, and extortion and something else. So there's no sanctuary legal in San Francisco or in the United States, so immigration, it was turned over to the family, and they're to be deported, if they haven't been already, to back to Australia and cannot return for 10 years. And since they weren't born here and they entered illegally, they have no right to stay here. And we've had a case with a Filipino family which made a mistake and didn't get their immigration status legalized. The whole family was deported. This happened about 2 years ago, and their kids were born here, but they were deported to the Philippines, a place where the kids had never lived and never visited and never had any citizenship. So, you know, it just gets to show you that how skewered some of the media people get. I guess it was a slow news day. Let's see, what else do we have today? Interstate commerce was, Congress established that today. And then we had, in 1893, those of us who like trains and ride the railroads and ride the rails. And during the Depression, we had a lot of poor blacks and whites and whatever, ethnics, couldn't get jobs. The youth were riding the rails. And in the South, if you were caught, you were put on the chain gang. And I would recommend this movie, I Am an Escapee from a Train Gang, Paul Muni, which exposed the brutality and the cruelty of the chain gang operation in the South. And it was not only blacks that were brutalized, it was poor whites. So people, you know, it's the same thing with, we hear about the Holocaust and what happened in Europe. Not only were Jews ripped off and abused and sent to the concentration camps, tortured and put in slave labor situations of the factories, but there anybody else who the Nazis saw as their opponents or saw as useful. And if they had assets, it was open season, equal opportunity theft, whether you were an atheist, a Seventh-day Adventist, Roman Catholic, or a Jew. You know, the Nazis took advantage of the situation. To use the Tammany Hall phrase, they saw their opportunities, and they took them by force. So, I'll keep that in mind. Let's see, what else happened today? Oh, yes, in 1919, it's still one of the horrors. You know, even Gorbachev is a beneficiary of this. The first Communist International was held. This was a big conference of all the commies. In fact, Oregon is, what's his name, Tom Reed, who was from Oregon, famous movie with Warren Beatty, Reds. It's very accurate about Tom Reed, who was a communist, and he was one of the only American buried in the Kremlin. And he went to Russia to fight in the Russian Revolution. He died over there. So we haven't seen the end of the communists. They've just gone into the closets and come out as progressives and that sort. And they haven't given up. They're just using new tactics. Of the interesting deaths on this day, on March 2nd, the great English writer Horatio Walpole died. And those of you who like salacious reading or entertaining, being entertained by reading like that, the author of Lady Chatterley's Lover, which was a movie, which is also the major case in the courts about the book was sent through the mails, and they tried to the post office seized it, and it was called pornography. And but the pornographers or the distributors of the book won. Two sad deaths, actually, two on this date in March. Cleo Noel, our U.S. ambassador to Sudan, he was assassinated by Yasser Arafat's people. I don't know why we are still dealing with those people, and this happened in 1973. And then a British ambassador to Holland, Sir Richard Sykes, he was left his residence, and he was getting in his car, and some masked gunmen assassinated him and a young male who was one of his workers at the embassy. And those of you who've seen, like the great Marine movies and great 40s and 50s films, Randolph Scott, who starred in Gung-Ho. He died today. Some of the things that we need to start thinking about is what is really in this health care and what resources are available for poor people and people who have no income or have lost their jobs and need medical care. Now, we did do, it should be up this week on our Video Veritas, Amicus Veritas page at YouTube, who really goes to emergency rooms, and the figures keep changing. Remember, we kept hearing it was 45 million who were uninsured. Now the new figure is bandied between 10, 11 to 30 million. So they're playing with the figures for political purposes. I guess that's a fair thing to say because they want to pass this horrible bill, which they should go back to the drawing boards. Also, I brought this up on an earlier show, and it was something I was involved in when I worked for the government years ago. I had to intercept what was considered gambling material, Irish sweepstakes tickets. Well, the Irish sweepstakes was started in the 30s to fund the Irish hospital system, which was that's the Republic of Ireland, not the Ulster, which is British, which was among the finest in the world. There are, you know, it's interesting. In the United States, we have all of these lotteries. I think something like 42. And even the people in Utah where lotteries and gambling is banned because of the Mormon influence, these people go to Nevada and other places to gamble. We think about this. Is it time to call for a national lottery to try to offset some of this huge deficit? If the majority of the states are doing it, the majority of people want to do it, and also abroad, there are 62 to 65 countries that have lotteries, and they pay big money. They offset some of their debt. I don't know if Greece has one, but maybe they better start one with the money that they're paying their public sector employees. I think Greece has one. I'll check again. I want to be accurate. But this is something to think about, that maybe, you know, California has a lottery. We have the big lotteries back east, these mega lotteries. People want to gamble. We may as well tax it and use it to fund hospitals, schools, and to offset some of the massive public debt and the shortfalls in income for the revenue for the states. You know, the states can just find tax just so much. You can only squeeze so much money out of people, especially people who are in danger of losing their jobs or had their hours cut back or have no job or just lost their job or being laid off. So they can't keep taxing these people. So why not tax, call what it is, a vice, and make it pay for some of the public services that we all need. So it's something to think about. And so, you know, as I suggested earlier, it's time to talk to SeaWorld. And, you know, you don't have to be an animal rights fanatic to express your concern about this abuse of this animal. Clearly, this orca whale, three people have died. How many more? This is animal abuse. I'm sorry to say, but this is what it is. And it's not entertaining anymore. And it's time to free the orca. So I suggest and boycott them. If you're thinking of going to SeaWorld, call up the management and say, I'm not going because you abuse animals. I don't want to finance that, and it's a bad example for my family because a lot of kids go there. You know, it's like bullfighting. It may be a cultural thing, but it's just I don't understand it, and I'm part Hispanic. I think it's something that's archaic. It's cruel. And the same thing with some of these animal exhibitions, that it's time for us to show our humanity. And if we were an animal, would we like to be treated that way? There I've said it, and some people are going to be peed off. But, you know, I've covered enough of these animal things around the world. And it's too bad that some of the people I worked with, Dr. Michael Fox, the guy who did all the Westminster dog shows, aren't around. I'm sure they would have a comment on this. We will be doing, I'm looking for the interview I did with one of the top Canadian veterinarians, a federal official up there, on the white seal controversy in Nova Scotia. And there's a lot of misinformation about that. And, you know, I learned some things when I was up there and I interviewed him. So we're looking for those interviews and some others, the kangaroo, the problems in Australia with the roos. I almost got hit by one, and I'll put up the picture of me interviewing a kangaroo. It was quite interesting. He nearly hit me, or it nearly hit me with its tail. And also, I don't think I've had kangaroo meat once. They didn't tell me about it until I was chewing on it, and I was very upset that I had been tricked. I guess it's my conservative Midwestern taste. But anyway, these are things that we as humans and civilized people should be thinking about, how we treat animals who can't help themselves. The same thing with this business about dogs. We're seeing, one of the reasons you're seeing so many chihuahuas was because of that movie, and people think, oh, I'll get one of these dogs and I'll breed. I can tell you from my own personal experience that it's a lot of work, drives you nuts, there's no money in it to speak of for the time you're putting in, and, you know, you're just adding to the animal population, and you will pay and other people will pay, whether they have pets or not, on animal control and animal management and environmental expenses in your local community, your city, your state. And the pounds, the animal pounds, are full of these animals. So, you know, if you're thinking about a chihuahua because it looks cute and all that, think again. You know, don't be seduced so easily when you see these movies. During the 70s, Afghan hound was very popular until people realized that it's an animal that requires a lot of maintenance, and people used to get these animals. They realized that the coat would get messed up and matted, and it was very difficult to groom them and very expensive. So they dumped the animal either in the streets or in the country or at the pound. And, of course, people who didn't own pets or who had pets but were paying taxes in their community were also funding, and didn't realize this, this abuse of people who were getting pets that they should have gotten in the first place. So think about that. You may or may not have heard this, but what's happening in animal control, and I did do a report for the San Francisco Police Department called It's Still a Dog World, because when the city decided to take over animal control because they were getting ripped off and the work wasn't being done, I did an international survey, and we will put it on DVD, because it's in hard copy. It's very interesting. It's still very relevant. But what we found out that it's very expensive. People do not get their dog's license, and there are people who want to have cat's license. And now what the city of L.A., because it has a huge deficit and shortfall in projected revenues, they are going after people who haven't licensed their animals. So it may happen across the country because a lot of people just ignore it. It's a very difficult thing to enforce. People get very upset when their dog gets picked up by the dog catcher or the animal, the SPCA in your area, whoever has the animal control contract. So, get that dog registered. And I also think the cat should be registered. Well, Thursday we hope to have Patrick Butler, who is the dean of Cook County, journalist, a real journalist. He's had about 45 years experience, and our topic will be why isn't Chicago ready for reform? So we'll end with this. It's very appropriate with what's going on in Washington.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
Go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sign?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
who's willing to lose.
I suppose we should make Jack Riley the...
Well, this is Peter Paul Brizola. Thanks for viewing and thanks for listening. And go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, and our blog site. It's Peter Paul. Thank you. Peter Paul Brizola. Okay.